when Klal Yisrael reached Har Sinai, so Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed. It says, "Vayikra el Hashem in Hahor, Lemor Koy Soimer LeBeis Yaakov V'Sagid LeBnei Yisrael." He was given instructions what to say to Beis Yaakov. That refers actually to the women, Chazal say, and to the men, to tell them what the message is or what the appropriate directives are before Kabbalah Satorah. So he says a few things to them. First he says, Atem re'isem asher osisi l'mitzroyim, bo'eso eschem al kanfin eshoyim, bo'ovi eschem eloyim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. You saw all of the makas that took place in Mitzrayim. And then I carried you in a safe way that they explained, kanfin eshoyim, like an eagle carries its offspring on top, so nobody should be able to shoot at them from down above. The eagle goes above everything. And I brought you here to this place to meet. And if you're going to listen to what I have to say, and keep the breeze, so forth. So it seems from the Mefarshim, from Rashi and the Sipurno on a different angle, that there is some information here about the necessary preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, how we prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, what are the ingredients that were critical to be Mekabel the Torah. Because when Pasuk Hei says, V'atoyim shemo atishmu bekoili, the Sipurno says that refers to Lekabel Aleichem HaTorah V'haMitzvah. So this is the prelude, this is the introduction, this is the preparation for the Kabbalah Satorah. What is that? Atem reisim asher sisi l'mitzrayim. Kamo hiftzarti kidei sheyoshuva meirishum. The efforts that I put in that Mitzrayim should do tshuva from their rishis. Ki loy echpoitz b'mois hames. I didn't want the Mitzrim, the evil Mitzrim, to die. I put in so much effort that they should do tshuva. They had one chance and another chance and another chance and another chance, and the Makkos predicted before they had an opportunity to do tshuva and not. Uvahakshoysam orpom, and because they were so stubborn about it that they refused to give in and to do tshuva, hutzrachti laharbeis oisoysai umoifsai bikirbom ulahashchisam. It became necessary for me to make more oisus and meivsim, and eventually to destroy them. This is introduction number one. It seems that va'ato, and now the Sipurna learns, it seems based on what we just indicated, that you'll be ready to be mekabel the Torah, you have to first see what I did in Mitzrayim. It sounds like that in order to be ready for Kabbalah Satorah, they had to realize two things here. They had to realize the efforts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Mitzrayim should do tshuva kiloy achbots b'mois hames. If they wouldn't have realized that, there would have been something lacking, that Hashem, His chesed, His concern, afilu for the Rosho, His reaching out to the Rosh with such extensive efforts that he should do tshuva, the fact that lo achbots mois hames, and even when finally he had to be punished, hutzrachti laharbei seisei seimeivsei bikirmo lishtalashchisam, I had to do it because of this kashyus oirif. It's not what I wanted. Hashem doesn't want to destroy Rishoyim. He wants Rishoyim to do tshuva, and it's only that they forced this situation because of the fact that they were so stubborn about it, and with all these opportunities they refused to do tshuva. This is why I had to inflict this hashchosa. It seems that coming to grips with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude towards Rishoyim, how positive it is, how much effort he puts in for them to do tshuva, and even when he finally has to destroy them, it's only they brought it about themselves, and it's out of this necessity because hakshesam orpom, they were so stubborn and they refused to listen, and therefore he had to deliver that which was threatened and so forth. It seems that that's a critical understanding prior to being able the ato im shua tishmu lekabel aleichem hatorah hamitzvah. That person has to have this understanding of Hashem's attitude towards Rishoyim. I don't know whether it's because of the fact it's a general hashkofa that one needs to appreciate, or maybe more likely it's to appreciate if I'm the makabel the Torah, I have to know that even if I make a mistake and I end up doing something inappropriate, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is on my side the whole time and he cares and he'll do everything to get me to do tshuva. But this appreciation of the attitude, the yachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Rishoyim, seems to be one ingredient that they had to know. Second thing they had to know. There it says, this was like, I took you in a way that nobody ever went through. Just like the nesher, the eagle, goes on the highest level when nobody travels. No other animal, no other bird goes up so high. And this was to separate you from all the Amim and all the things that all the nations and all the Goyim do, that you should be for me. It seems that before Kabbalah HaTorah, that they had to have this sense of this, not only that they're the Am Hashem, that he's chosen us to give the Torah, that he's offering us the Torah, that this is something that he wants, and he's bringing us to Har Sinai in order, and the psukim continue. It seems that they also had to have this sense of the distinction between us and the goyim. In order to be lihiyos li, in order to be, to feel, to appreciate that unique relationship with Hashem, they have to be separated from the amim and from all the things that the amim do. And it seems that to the degree that we are not separated from the Amim and from everything that they do, we lose out in this sense of special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we lose out in that special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we lose out in the ability to truly be able to be Mekabel the Torah. I think this particular idea has very strong ramifications for today, because we live in a generation where we're very intermingled. You know, in times of greater oppression, the Jew was much more insulated from the outside world, because he wasn't even permitted to enter that world. The country clubs in this neighborhood used to have signs we're all familiar with, no Jews and whatever, they didn't let us intermingle. And we were separate. That havdola we felt between the Amim and all of their Asek and everything they do. And Mimela, we could feel that special connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more that we identify with the Goyim, the more that we allow ourselves to be drawn into their Asek, the things that they do, and it doesn't even necessarily mean with them, but it's not their havdola. We're also part of them. We act the way they do. We read the same things. We watch the same things. We do the same things. We're part of their world. Now, to a certain extent, we have to be part of the world, but we don't have to be in that sense, in the way that takes us away from our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what that would seem from this connection here does is V'atoyim Shemot Tishmu. And after these things, now that you'll be Mekabel the Torah, it seems that it undermines our Kabbalah HaTorah. And I think on a logical level, it's quite obvious. The more that we identify with all the nonsense and all the schmutz and all the stupidity that goes on in the outside world, the more that we lessen the focus and the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Memela, the more that the Kabbalah HaTorah is weakened, our commitment to learning, our intensity of learning, our Amelus HaTorah, all of these things are affected, because we've undermined one of the tenets that are necessary for that Kabbalah HaTorah. Rashi says something else, which is also very interesting. On the Pasuk, V'atoyim Shema Tishmu, so Rashi, it seems, the Mizrahi explains, learns V'ato as now as opposed to after. So Rashi says like this: Im ato tekablu aleichem. If now you're mekabel the Torah, and he explains that's im shemoya, that's what it's a mechilta, says im shemoya, then it'll be tishmu yerav lochem mikan ve'elech. Then it will be sweet for you. It'll be pleasant for you from now on. Shekol hascholois koshois. Because beginnings, all beginnings, are always difficult. It sounds like that the pshat is that V'ato im shomoya. That's the way the Mizrahi seems to learn, that the present is the Kabbalah that you're making in the present is by definition difficult. The beginning of Kabbalah Satorah has to be difficult. It's not sweet. Kabbalah is difficult. I assume that the pshat is because to be mekabel responsibility, Kabbalah Satorah was not just an intellectual experience. It was a bris. It was an acceptance of responsibility, of obligations, of a life of mitzvahs, of a life of shibud, and that's painful. But the Torah promises us im shomoya. If you will accept it with its difficulty, I don't know if it's because of the difficulty that it becomes sweet later, but one thing is guaranteed, it'll be tishme'u. If a person accepts the Kabbalah HaTorah, the difficulty of Kabbalah, the difficulty of Shibud, the difficulty of accepting these burdens, and he accepts it with its difficulty, and he knows that kolas cholas koshes, there's no other way, it's going to be difficult, it has to be difficult. It's not going to be pleasant at the beginning because it's a Kabbalah, it's a limitation, it's a Shibud, it becomes overwhelming. But he should know there's a havtocho, yerav lochem, not basoif, mikan ve'elech. From after the Kabbalah, it will become mikan ve'elech. Im shomoya, that's the Kabbalah, the Mizrahi says, tishme'u, it'll be pleasant to you from now on. I think that's something that, if not to educate others, maybe for ourselves, or if not for ourselves, then to educate others, but something that we have to realize in the process of Kabbalah HaTorah, in the process of rededicating and dedicating oneself to a life of Torah and mitzvahs and limud haTorah, that it's very critical to realize that if a person is mekabel, without being mekabel, then it doesn't happen. The tishma'u is not going to happen without the im shomoya. And the im shomoya has to be difficult. Kabbalah is difficult. That initial plunge is difficult. That commitment is difficult to make. But once I make it, it's mikan ve'elech. Once there was a real commitment. Now, of course, the problem is that we make commitments in 10-year plans. You know, I'll be a little committed. I'll do a little bit. Then I'll do a little more. And I'll do a little more. I don't know. That may all be the haschola. If a person's still holding by the haschola, the commitment hasn't yet been committed, then, but the minute it sounds like mikan va'elech, as soon as that haschola has begun, as soon as that commitment has been chal upon him, he's taken upon himself that commitment, then mikan va'elech, it's going to be yerav lochem, mikan va'elech, the Torah promises that it'll be pleasant. And kol haschola's kosher, the pshat is, it's not shaykh. The beginning is going to be difficult. The commitment in this case is going to be, that's what kol haschola seems to be, the haschola of commitment. Commitment is difficult. But once a person makes that commitment, then everything else will follow and the pleasantness will begin. Many people wonder when that pleasantness, that geschmack in Torah and mitzvahs is going to come. Well, it seems from this Rashi that when it's going to come is when the commitment is real. If the commitment is tentative, if the commitment is cyclical, if the commitment is seasonal, if the commitment is gradual, it may not come yet. It has to be the haschola. The haschola is kosher, but if it's a real haschola with a real commitment, then it seems that the rest is from here on in, yerav lochem mikan ve'elech.
2:45.